Welcome back to the Rocky Relationships Podcast. I'm Chuck.
Hi, I'm Betsy.
And today we have one of our core teachings. This one is on fear. Fear is the third layer from the bottom in the emotional cup. And Betsy, how can they find out more about the emotional cup?
So you can listen to our emotional cup episode and then get the handout for it by going to receivemyspirit.org. Clicking on Rock Your Relationships podcast, and then scroll down to Emotional Cup handout.
There are many different kinds of fear. And I was just thinking about one as we were getting ready to do this podcast. One of the most afraid moments of my life was at the Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama, just a couple hours north of where we live here in Birmingham.
Okay.
And there is a ride there that I think they have this kind of ride all over the country, but it's basically where you get shot up as if you're in a rocket. So you're sitting in a seat, you strap in the harness, and then it just shoots you straight up, and then you just come back down. But the thrill is in the going up. So I'd never ridden one of these before, and I got on. I think you weren't riding, so you were just maybe watching.
I can guarantee I was not riding.
Yeah, that's not your cup of tea. I generally enjoy thrill rides like roller coasters and things like that, and I'll try just about any of them.
I probably wasn't even watching.
Maybe not. But so I got on the ride, and I hadn't pulled my harness down yet, and the machine released, like the hydraulics, like it was kind of locked in place, and then it released. Yeah. It was like, and you could feel it like get softer, and I thought it's about to shoot me up, and I don't have my harness on, and I had this moment of panic, and I remember like looking for you and like grabbing my harness, and it turned out nothing was happening. Like the attendant was still going to make two or three walks around, but because I had that experience right before I started, my heart was already racing. I already had fear in my system, so when I actually rode the ride, when the shot took me up, it was way worse than any kind of roller coaster I'd been on or anything before. I was more afraid than I'd ever been because it was like the fear had already gotten in my system.
You thought, I'm going to die. I'm going to be shot through the ceiling.
I've lived a good and comfortable life. I don't know that I've ever had another moment where just for that split second, I thought I might be about to die.
Wow.
But that was what happened in that little split second of fear. And of course, you know, many of us have experienced little moments like that where we walk away and we're like, wow, I could have died if this had gone differently. That's some serious fear. We're going to talk about a lot of different kinds of fear today. That's only a small piece of the kind of fear we're talking about. Do you have any kind of roller coaster story or anything like that?
Oh, I know the most afraid I've ever been. Both of us have had pretty good lives that this is the most afraid we've ever been. But I have had a few panic attacks in my life, kind of mild ones, but I had one that was for reals panic attack. And now when people say they had a panic attack, I just really understand better where they're coming from. I don't really think I have major phobias, but I'm not a big fan of bridges. And I remember when I was driving with the kids alone on a long trip. You were at a conference or something in another state, and so we were driving to see you, and we got on this bridge that was just crazy steep. And I guess because it had to be really steep because boats went under it, and it wasn't a drawbridge. They just made a really steep bridge. And about halfway up it, I was really, really uncomfortable. And the kids know that sometimes I get nervous driving on hills and stuff, and so they know to sing to me. So they were probably about like 5 and 7, and I said, guys, I'm feeling nervous, please sing. And so they just busted out. They usually sing their little Jesus songs, you know, at that age. They were singing their little vacation Bible school songs to me, and it always really helps. But so we were going up this steep bridge, and traffic stopped. So I was stuck on the bridge facing upward. And I really had a for real panic attack. And of course, you know, I thought I was going to roll backwards or I was just going to fall off. It became very irrational. And so I started to be afraid then that I was going to scream and scare the children. And then I started being afraid that I was going to not be able to control what I did. So I was afraid I was going to get out of the car because I was so scared. I just wanted to get off that bridge. And then I was afraid I was going to abandon the children in the car and that the car was going to roll away. So it went from the fact that I was on a steep bridge, which was an uncomfortable situation, to I'm going to accidentally kill my children.
Oh, my.
And have no control over it. So I just started singing with the kids, and we sang really loudly because I didn't want to scream and totally freak them out. And I prayed, of course, and the traffic started moving again, and I went over the bridge. But I remember I called you that night from the hotel once I got the kids to bed, because it was a long road. And I knew I was driving, and then I was going to have to come back the same way. And I remember crying to you on the phone and saying, you have got to find me another route. I can never drive over that bridge again. I mean, I remember you saying to me, it's going to add like 2 hours to this already like 3-day trip you're on with two small children. And I didn't care. I said, I cannot ever even think about that bridge again.
I remember that.
Yes.
To go around the bridge. And also there's that really, really long, it's not very high, but really, really long bridge
yeah. In
Louisiana, the Atchafalaya Basin Bridge.
Yes.
And so we routed you around that as well. Like you
because
just didn't want to have anything
to
do with the bridges.
Yeah, I just knew the alligators were going to jump out of the bridge and into the car, out from under the bridge into the car, or I would get stuck on it and we'd have to live there. I mean, it was not really rational, but it was just terrifying.
You know, it's a great example, though, and both of our stories, really, because my fear was an acute fear. It was something that had never happened before. I experienced it, and actually, I have never ridden another ride like that again, the rides that just shoot you up.
Right.
Like, so I had an experience of fear with that one ride, and it sort of changed my view of those rides, and I just won't go near them. I'm just like, nope, I just don't ride those kinds of rides.
Right.
And you kind of had a chronic fear condition in a sense that you occasionally, you know, bridges bothered you, right?
Yeah.
And then it became irrational. There were things that you imagined might happen that really didn't make much sense. They were highly unlikely. And sometimes fear works like that, that mm-hmm. we have this kind of low-level fear, but when it gets activated, we start to imagine possibilities that are very remote.
Right. So sometimes fear is very mental and even rational. It makes sense that you are fearing something. But sometimes it's very emotional and not rational at all.
Right.
And different kinds of fear really need different kinds of healing.
That's a good point. And let me just frame it in the emotional cup real quick. So we talked about in the podcast on anger, how anger is often hurt that gets transformed into anger. The source of anger is often hurt. That's also true for many kinds of fear.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kind of hurt that's experienced, and that can be transformed into fear. The fear is that you want to avoid that hurt happening again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So you change your behavior, you change your ways of thinking. Not that you're intentionally doing that, but it happens that the fear drives you to take different actions or different ways of thinking or feeling
mm-hmm.
because you want to avoid that hurt that has happened before. You don't want to have it again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And one last thing about fear and the emotional cup. We've talked about how these emotions are like layers, like a parfait in the emotional cup. But I think more than any other, fear is one that is almost like you've seen before when you drop food coloring into clear liquid, how it sort of looks like smoke kind of in the
uh-huh.
water and dissipates. Fear really is like that sometimes. It can kind of get mixed in with any of these other emotions in
mm-hmm.
the emotional cup and can kind of spread and color the whole thing. When it exists. And sometimes it only takes a small drop or two of fear
right.
to do that, to sort of change the color of the whole liquid. So fear is a multidimensional and very powerful emotion.
Right. Yeah. And also, sometimes you might not realize when you're experiencing fear. I know that was something that I had to learn, is how do I know that I'm feeling afraid? And there's kind of some clues. A lot of times it shows up in your body. So if you're feeling angry, you know, you're going to sense this hardness. If you start to feel yourself getting harder, you're probably getting angry. If you're starting to feel yourself getting shakier, maybe feeling unstable, confused, a little bit like you want to run away. You might even start shifting on your feet left and right, almost like you're trying to get ready to take off. Okay. That's going to be fear. It's going to be more fear. Anger, a lot of times you're more standing your ground and you kind of ball up your fists, you know, like you're ready to fight. And with fear, you're kind of more going to be maybe opening your hands and maybe even like stroking your hands and stroking your body a little bit. You know, sometimes we wring our hands together or rub our knees or just things like that, just to kind of start to try to feel a little more stable. So that's kind of a indication. If you're like me and I didn't used to have very good awareness of what I was actually feeling.
That's really good, thinking about those physical manifestations of fear. And it reminds me, like you said, how anger has certain physical manifestations. Another thing about fear and anger is that people are different in terms of which of those two get expressed. I think I mentioned in the anger podcast that in my family, anger was an acceptable emotion, but fear right. was much less so. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't especially among the men, it wasn't kind of a macho thing to be afraid. Some men don't like to say they're afraid of things. And you've heard of fight or flight. You know, it's like a response to a stimulus.
Right.
Some people seem to tend more toward fight and some tend more toward flight. And that's mm-hmm. really anger and fear. So different people, especially when it comes to how they handle hurt, some people are going to fight when they're hurt and some people are going to fly mm-hmm. when they're hurt. And so that's how all these things are related in the emotional cup.
Right. And we know there's different kinds of fear. Fear can range all the way from the panic attack type thing that I was describing, mm-hmm. Which was very intense and certainly would be very noticeable, to something that's much more subtle, just kind of a generalized insecurity. Some people, it manifests in that they just don't take risks or they don't make new friends because they're afraid they won't be liked. They don't try new things with their career because they're afraid of failing, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that might be harder to notice because the people might not even realize they're doing things out of fear. They
right.
might just think that they're being smart or, you know, they're being wise when actually they're being overcautious. So fear can be anxiety, nervousness, distress. All of these are emotional types of fear that are generally based on past hurt. And I think it's important that we know that when something's based on a past hurt, it really isn't our fault. We shouldn't beat ourselves up about it. We just need to receive healing for it. It's also important to know if you have the emotional cup handout and you listen to that podcast, you know that fear is emptied by God and others. So it empties to the right side of the cup in the God and others effort column. And you need help to get over fear, especially the emotional fear. The reason that I refer to emotional fear is because there is fear that's more mental. And we can a lot of times use truth to help us combat that. But if it is an emotional fear, I think we're going to just be spinning our wheels trying to fight it ourselves. Because if it's based on hurt, you really need comfort.
That's a good point. I mean, sometimes if there's a mental aspect to the fear, like you've believed a lie, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't try.
God doesn't love me.
Yeah, right. You need to have the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough just to hear that truth.
That's true.
Just to sort of change your mind. Sometimes people think, well, if you just change your mind about mm-hmm. it, then the emotion will follow. That's not always true. Sometimes the emotional aspect of the fear needs to have its own sort of treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about emotional healing from a more emotional fear, since that's really what the emotional cup deals with. There is a biblical antidote to the emotion of fear. And one way that it's translated in the scriptures is the term perfect love. So Chuck, can you explain that to us?
Sure. This comes from the scripture in 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And that's the first part of the verse there. But this is really, if you just took that by itself, it might be difficult to understand. You think, well, how am I supposed to show perfect love?
Does or receive perfect love.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
how am I supposed to find that?
Well, okay, God has perfect love, you know, but maybe I don't always experience it that way. Or,
yeah.
And there's no way I'm going to be able to give my spouse or my friend or whatever perfect love. It can be a really intimidating one. I think it's maybe the least clear of all the antidotes in the emotional cup.
Right.
So let me just put a different spin on it that I think that I know helped me, which is if you think of it, perfect love as really completed love, that God loves us and we have to grow in our confidence in that over time, basically our identity as God's child and that we're loved. And that as we grow in that confidence that God loves us, and that love is unshakable, that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we grow in that, we begin to give that love out to others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cycle. So really the word here, perfect, could be translated completed.
Okay.
So an even simpler way to think about this is if someone's experiencing fear, someone you care about that you're trying to help deal with fear, they may need to be reassured multiple times, right? You don't just say, hey, I told you that this is not a problem, so you need to get over it. Stop being afraid. They may need to be reassured many times. When we're learning about God's love for us, we have to be reassured many times. I mean, one of the reasons why we have the sacraments, why we go and receive our Lord, and the church says you need to be doing this at least once a week, every week, is because the church understands and God understands that we need that reassurance. We need that reconnection with God's love.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect love really is this completed, reassuring, consistent love. And it can take time for people to experience healing from fear because that love just continues to pour into them. And it's not always, when it comes from a person, obviously, it's not going to be perfect in the way we normally think of that. But the more it can be consistent, the more it can be patient, those kinds of things are the perfect love that we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I think I've heard it described as love that keeps its promises.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, like a completed love is a love that can make a commitment and then keep the commitment, and make a commitment and keep the commitment. And when you have that kind of love in your life and you have someone that you can rely on, not to never make mistakes, but to have your best interests at heart, right? And to do what they say they're going to do, and then if they can't do it, to apologize and let you know, that alone can just be such a stabilizing factor. Yeah.
So it's important to realize if you're the person who's experiencing the fear, that you want to receive the love that that person has to give to you, the friend or the spouse or whoever it is in your life who's trying to help you with this fear. They may not always be able to give you what you need, but try to receive what they are able to give. Try to receive those moments of reassurance. And if you're the person who's giving that love, remember, if you're helping someone who's dealing with a fear, emotional fear, then it's important that you keep your promises.
Right. Yeah. So how do we do that? How do we help one another? We have a friend who actually was having to go to court to testify recently, and she was nervous about it, understandably. And not only was her fear in reaction to the hurt that had been done to her, but the testifying itself was going to be reliving the hurt that had been done to her. So she was afraid of reliving it, and then she was afraid of just speaking up and in the action itself of speaking up. And so she has a good friend who really is one of her best friends, and now her friend can't take away what happened to her in the past, right? She can't undo it. And she can't take away the fact that she's going to have to go to court and testify. But she said, why don't I come get you and we'll go together? So I know these two girls are really close, but they live in different states. And one of them said, why don't I drive in and we'll go together and I'll just be there. And when you're nervous while you're testifying, you can look out and you can see my face and I'm going to be there with you. So that was a lot of comfort, because she was entering into her friend's pain with her, but at the same time, it was also relieving her fear, because her friend knew that if she couldn't rely on anything else that day, she could rely on having her friend there with her through all of it.
Right. It can make such a difference to be a companion.
Yes.
There with someone when they're facing a situation that they're afraid of.
Yes. One wonderful line is, "I can't take this away, but you won't go through it alone." And that can relieve a lot of fear.
And it goes back to really what's at the heart of all this emotional cup stuff. I mean, we haven't talked about this so far, but is making connections with other people,
yeah.
building connections of intimacy with one another. Because at root, what this is all about is that we were created to know and to be known,
mm-hmm.
to be intimate with God and with one another. And so something like what you just said, "I can't take this away, but you won't go through it alone,"
mm-hmm.
that's going to create a powerful bond, a powerful connection of intimacy.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about mental fear and how it can be related to emotional fear. One example of emotional fear is being hurt in your childhood. And we'll just take something that's unfortunately so common to a lot of us, and that's having our parents split up when we're a child. And that can be very painful. And so that would be an emotional fear that maybe you're afraid that one day you might have a marriage or a relationship that doesn't last, that it will fail just like you saw this other one fail. So you have that emotional fear. But then you might have a mental fear that goes with it. If you hear about so many other people who are also getting divorced, you might hear statistics and you might know that, you know, there's many things in our society that work against people having strong marriages and people staying together and being happy. And so this emotional fear and this mental fear can build up so that you are so afraid that you don't even try to have a stable relationship, or you might even try to sabotage the one you have, like kind of subconsciously, because you think it's going to fail anyway, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll be so afraid, let's say you get married, you're so afraid that you're going to end up divorced that you can't be yourself. You're afraid to even argue, so you just back down from everything. You become kind of codependent, where if your spouse isn't okay, you can't be okay, that kind of thing. So that's going to be a fear that's got two dimensions, and so the emotional side of it needs to be treated with comfort, maybe with somebody really being close with you and understanding what you went through when you saw your parents divorce, that kind of thing. And there's also going to be a mental side of it where the enemy is going to feed lies into your head. Things like, if the marriage fails, it's just going to fail. You have no control over it. Or if you speak your mind, you're going to be rejected and there's no hope. And then you're going to be left alone just like your parents were. But along with the emotional healing, you need to have truth to combat those lies. Because the truth is, sit down with your spouse and talk to them. Tell them how you feel. Come up with a plan, you know. The truth is, you can express yourself and you can argue without it blowing up and being something ugly, you know. The truth is that there's no reason that you have to end in divorce. You know, there's... It's up to both of you. There's lots of options out there for help, and there's lots of support for people who feel like their marriage is on the rocks. You know, you have a lot more power than you think you do, that kind of thing.
And the fear can keep you from taking action.
Yeah.
Or from taking helpful actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may be doing other things to try to avoid confrontation or whatever.
And right.
When you were talking, I was reminded by a couple things. We work a lot with college students, and
mm-hmm.
the Rocky Relationships podcast is on the St. Stephen website, which is a ministry to college students. And
mm-hmm.
Two things that are really common as far as dealing with fear in relationships among college students. One is fear based on some past hurt, so you change yourself.
Right.
When you relate to other people, you're not relating from who you are,
mm-hmm.
in a sense,
like a sincere place.
A mm-hmm. sincere place, right? People try to dress themselves up or put on something that they're not. Sometimes it can be like to overconfidence, you know,
mm-hmm.
putting on a confidence that is not genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's reflected in the way people dress. They don't want the person to see their real self. They want to see this facade, and things like social media can certainly help prop up, you know, all these masks that we can wear. Another way that people express is by trying to become invulnerable. So you're afraid, you don't want to be hurt again, so you sort of construct a self that can't be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it blocks people from getting close to you at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be hurt, but you really can't be loved. You can't have those intimate connections either. So Whether you're sort of putting on masks and trying to be someone else to avoid being hurt again,
mm-hmm.
Or whether you're trying to make yourself invulnerable by putting up emotional walls, both of those are often based on fear.
So where do you go if you think you are experiencing an emotional fear? Well, you go to God and you go to friends and you receive comfort and you ask for the reassurance of that special kind of love that helps to relieve fear, that love that keeps its promises. When you are experiencing a fear that's very mental, that seems to be linked to a thought, then you might really be experiencing lies from the enemy or from your own self-talk or from your environment, and you really need truth to counteract it. So what's one great place to go when you need some truth?
To Sacrament of Reconciliation.
That's right. Yes. And I'll give you a specific example. I remember I went to the priest once and I couldn't think of like specific sins to confess, which is always a sign that there's something kind of messed up in your thinking if you just have this general bad feeling about yourself. And I said, "Father, I just keep making so many mistakes." And it was great because he said, "Well, tell me about your intentions." And I told him about my intentions when I was making these mistakes. And he really helped to clarify that my intentions were much more important than whether or not I always made the right action, you know, to achieve what I thought was the right situation. And it was a huge truth for me to think, okay, when I make mistakes, things, you know, don't turn out well, or maybe someone ends up getting their feelings hurt or that kind of thing. I mean, certainly I still apologize. It's not like I pretend I never do anything wrong, but I do focus on my intentions more because of this truth that I've learned, and that is so biblical and so true. And it's relieved so much fear. I'm so much less afraid of someone getting irritated with me, mm-hmm. or maybe feeling, you know, like I was thoughtless, you know, I forgot our birthday or something like that. That's really a mistake, but it's not a bad intention.
Right.
I just feel so much more free from that because I think, okay, well, this is something I need to apologize for, but I don't need to feel, you know, miserable about it. I don't need to let it wreck me out.
Right.
Yeah. So that's just a little bit of truth. And it cut my fear on my daily basis type fear, you know, down to, I don't know, 10%.
It's a good illustration of how there are several different ways to come at fear and to address it. And some of it is diagnosing a little bit. How much of this is my thinking? How much mm-hmm. of this is mental? How much of this is emotional?
Right.
Not that you have to have it all worked out, but that there you may need some truth. You may need somebody to come alongside you and show you some of that promise-keeping type love.
Right.
You may need to really learn more deeply who you are in Christ, that God loves you, that Christ died and rose again for you,
mm-hmm.
That there is nothing in all creation that can separate you from God's love and confirm that identity as a child of God more deeply.
Right.
So there's a lot of different ways in which we address fear.
The content of this podcast is a mix of our original content and content owned by Intimate Life Ministries, which you can access at relationalcare.org.
Thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to giving you another podcast sometime soon.
Bye.